going on? That's a very common dialect. I think it's called Paktu or something like that. It's the Jamaican dialect. And what an awesome trip we had. And this was my very first foreign missions trip, and my very first missions trip as the leader. I've been on a lot of missions trips, but never as the leader. And I have only respect for Connie Wright and Ron and all those who led those trips when I was a youngster, and appreciate all the work that they put in those trips when I was a kid. And there's a whole element of stress to being the leader, but God is good, and you know, it was a really awesome opportunity. We left, obviously, on Saturday, August 4th, which was my anniversary, and we left at 4:30 in the afternoon, and this is us getting ready to go, all smiles. We had a great flight there. We did have one mishap. Caleb lost his bag, but as they say in Jamaica, there's no problems, just situations. And so Caleb luckily had two brothers that he could steal clothes from, and he was only without his bag for one day. So they delivered it at like 2 in the morning. I got a call from Mrs. Burkow that the airport called down. And so I spent most of that first night in Jamaica up waiting for the guys at the airport. But that's part of being a leader. And I was thankful that Caleb got his bag so that he had clean clothes, and so was everyone else for that matter. As we mentioned in our pre-presentation, before we went on the trip, we went to do a vacation Bible school at the very church that Junior Taylor grew up in. It was known as Dumfries Baptist Church, and somewhere, unbeknownst to Pastor Titus and Baptist Missions, they changed their name to Canaan Baptist Church. So you'll see us with the sign that says Canaan Baptist Church, and you may say, well, I thought you were going to Dumfries. We did. They changed their name. I don't know why. I guess it's because they're not really in Dumfries. They're really in the city of Canaan, in the community of Canaan. It used to be known as Dumfries. And so you'll see some pictures of that. So besides for being the leader and organizing all of this, I was also the upfront guy. And so I led all the music, and Becca helped me, and I really appreciated her help. And so I was the guy that was always shouting out orders. And it was a real adjustment for us. We were told that Jamaicans are on a totally different time schedule than ours. We were told that they're kind of laid back, and so we were expecting that. I guess I expected that we'd have a little bit more time to set up, and we got kind of, it was a miscommunication. We actually got there at 3:45, and Vacation Bible School was supposed to start at 4. And I thought, well, let's see what we can do. And on top of that, not only did we have a whole puppet stage, and then you saw how we decorated here for our Vacation Bible School, we had plans to do that there. But because of time, we did what we could, and it looked good, and we called it, and it was fine. It was stressful, because we had 15 minutes to set up, and on top of that, they're like, we really want you to go out and canvas, like, go knock on doors, and so, like, invite people out, or nobody's going to come. And so it was like, okay, half of you go this way, and I guess the other half come with me, and we're going to go. And so we're out, like, basically, hey, do you have any kids? Come to Vacation Bible School. And, like, I look at my watch while I'm out canvassing, and I notice it's 4 o'clock. And I'm like, I got to get back to the church. We're supposed to be starting Vacation Bible School. So I get back, and we started at, like, 4:30. And we had 12 kids. That was it. I thought, man, we came all the way here for 12 kids. Okay, Lord, well, we're here to serve. If this is what you want, we're here. And wouldn't you believe, as soon as we started game time, the kids came out of the woodworks. I mean, as soon as you put a soccer ball out in whatever patch of grass or field or whatever you got, they're there. And by the end of the night, we had 45 kids on the very first night. And what a huge blessing. We had to make some altercations to our schedule, because the first night we did songs and puppets, and then we did Bible time. Well, then I realized, well, half the kids that came didn't get to hear the Word of God. I mean, they heard it through the skits and they heard it through the crafts, but we want them there for when, you know, the most important part. And so we altered that. The next night we started with songs, and then we went into our rotation. We did a 2 rotation where it was split at 8th grade. So 8th grade and above went to games, and 7th grade and below went to craft time, and then we would go for 15 or 20 minutes, and then we'd switch. And pretty much it was all hands on deck from our team. Wherever there was needs, we just jumped in and we served. And it was difficult. It put us out of our comfort zone. And some of my team members are going to share that. God stretched us a lot. I know I was stretched a lot too. And it was cool to see God work. Now, Jamaica is a little bit different in some ways than the United States, in the sense that it's a matriarchal society. A lot of dads are non-existent. A lot of dads have multiple spouses, lovers, or whatever have you. And so most kids grow up with an absence of a father. And moms, when mom says something, they jump. But when a male says something, they just look at you and they're like, yeah, who are you? And so it helped to have some strong-willed women on our team, because they could bring down they just look at me, and Pastor Ty says, you've got to get strong with them. You've got to look them in the face, get stern. And it's just like, okay, I'll try, you know. They look like they could care less what I have to say. And I don't think they did. And so it was hard. You know, one night I'm up there playing music, and the kid in the front row is mocking me as I'm playing my guitar. And I'm just like, okay, I'm just going to keep going. You know, I'm going to ignore him. Obviously, that's a heart issue. He's got something going on there. Mr. Grime might share this. One night we even had a couple kids that started fighting. I don't even know what they were fighting over, but I come in the auditorium. Mr. Grime's breaking up these two kids that are about to go into a fist fight. Says, take it outside. I'm like, oh my, like, just not used to that. And God really stretched all of us, and it was cool to see. So being that it was a matriarchal society, it was hard to get them to respect you. Unfortunately, too, as some of them probably will mention, I was surprised at how many of them had a cell phone. Everybody had a cell phone. I mean, they literally live in a concrete building with a steel roof that's not, in my mind, very nice, and they've got top-notch cell phones, like better than I have. They may not be able to have, they might not have minutes on their cell phone, but they have a cell phone. And the sad part is, a lot of them are watching American TV, they're watching American news, they're watching all American stuff. And so they're just being polluted by American media. And as you can imagine, that really changes their perspective. Where there was no racism, you're a white man, I'm a black man, and that's the way it is. Now I'm a white man from America who's had everything handed to him. And so there's kind of this animosity towards us, like, well, you've just had life given to you in a silver spoon. And that was hard. You know, we'd be driving through communities, and the little kids, they were just enthralled. They're like, oh, white people! That's literally what they would say. You could see it. I mean, I remember Seth told me one day, one of the kids came running in, and we called him Bad Boy, and you're going to hear more about Bad Boy. And he came running in, and he goes, white people! And he just comes running through the churchyard. It's hilarious. So the kids were enthralled with us, but the adults, some of them were not impressed, and some of the middle-aged kids, you could see them wave. They would wave, but then as you're passing, they would flip you off. And it was just really disgusting. You know, it really just kind of like, you could feel the devil working and using media to just really do his work. And that was kind of hard, and it was challenging. But God worked through us, and we never will know the kind of impact that we had. We never saw anyone except Christ, per se. But by the end of the week, by our fourth night of vacation Bible school, we had 85 kids that came out, and parents. And so each night we grew. And as Pastor Titus said to us, you know, you can make a huge impact in that community, especially being that it's a matriarchal society. What happens is, even though mom doesn't come to church, she sent her kids to that church. And the next time somebody talks bad about that church, she'll stick up for that church, because that church did something for her kids that didn't cost money. And so he said, you just never know. And I did not know this on this trip. Junior Taylor came from an unsaved home. He's the only person in his family that's saved. Who knows how many Junior Taylors were in that group? Who knows who was impacted? I had a conversation with a young man, his name was Gavin, and he just flat out denies God. And I had a really good one-on-one with him, and I'm praying for him. I'm praying that he would really, that God's word, I shared many scripture passages with him, and I'm praying that God's word would pierce his heart and that he would accept Christ. You just never know what kind of an impact. We planted seeds, we may never see the fruit, but that's not our responsibility. We're to go and share the good news of Jesus Christ. And so I really enjoyed being the leader. I led music. I kind of floated around. And I got the opportunity to preach. I thank the Lord for that. That was definitely an amazing experience. It was extremely hot. I literally carried my suit coat with the intentions of putting it on. I put it on, and the whole congregation watched me. It was hilarious. I put it on, and I instantly was like, there's no way I am preaching in this coat. I don't know how the pastor does it. I got up there, and I turned the fan on. There's a fan, like, right next to me. You can see it. I had that thing blaring on me. My notes were going everywhere. I didn't care. It was hot. And the pastor was just laughing. He's like, hey, don't worry about the coat. We don't expect you to preach in it. But it was really cool to get that opportunity as well. Some of the people you're going to hear mentioned that had an impact on us. Here's us with our driver. I don't remember his Jamaican name, but we call him Uncle. And that's the way he literally felt like an uncle to us. This man was a really good driver. He drives for a living. And they drive on the left side of the road. And the roads are literally no bigger, I felt like, than this aisle right here. And somehow you're fitting two cars, and you'd be passing each other on the windiest roads I've ever been on, comparable to like West Virginia, but even worse. I don't know if you've ever been in West Virginia. And you're traveling up mountains and just curving. And I will never again complain about a bumpy road in the United States after being in Jamaica. I don't think they've paved a road since they got their independence in 1964. It is bumpy. And I always rode in the back of that bus. My seat was in the very back because nobody wanted to ride back. Well, some of the teens wanted to steal my spot, some of the young guys. But it was pretty bumpy. And this guy was an amazing driver, kept us safe all week long. We praise the Lord for him. He professes to know the Lord. He loves Jesus. And we were really encouraged by his testimony and just his willingness to drive us around. Of course, he got paid. But so that's Uncle. This is Pastor Cletus Titus. And his wife has MS, and so he actually had to leave on Tuesday. And we were really sad. I mean, he was amazing. He knew all of these facts about Jamaica and how a lot of the churches started. Basically, he told us that in the 1930s or so, Baptist Missions had sent a bunch of missionaries to Jamaica. And at one point, by the 1950s, they had over 50 missionaries on the island. And Jamaica is the biggest island in the Caribbean Ocean. And so they had 50 American missionaries there. Well, now Jamaica started to get its independence. I believe it was 1964, 63, 62, okay, somewhere in there. When they started to get their independence, there was a fear that they were going to become a communist country. And so they started seeing this happening, and they said, we need to start training nationals to take over these churches. So they started a Bible college called Fairview Baptist Bible College. That's where Junior went for his first 2 years of Bible college, and then he went to Faith, where he was a student with me. And they started teaching these nationals, training these nationals to take over all these churches. Now, there's not a single, as far as I remember, there's not a single American missionary on the island of Jamaica. And they did that within a couple year span. They started training nationals, and the nationals now are pastoring all of these 50 churches across the country of Jamaica. And they have a Bible college that's all nationals. And Pastor Titus helps. He teaches some modules and things. He teaches at the college, but he's not there full time. The guy who actually is pastoring, or actually presiding the college, is also a pastor as well. And so just really cool to see that. So that's Pastor Titus. He actually co-founded a church in Montego Bay with another man named Pastor Andrew and his wife. And that's Pastor Andrew and his wife, and Tanisha. I wanted to call her Tashika because I went to school with a Tashika that was from Jamaica, Tanisha. And they're the pastor of Bay Life Baptist Church in Montego Bay. And you're going to see some pictures in our slideshow where we had an opportunity to go work. They bought this building from a gentleman. It was an industrial building that they're renovating and making it into a church building. And it's a huge blessing because to get this building at what they got it for, it was all God. And so far it's all paid for. And they just moved into this building, I believe, last week. And so this is Pastor Andrew and his wife, Tanisha. And then there's the intern from Baptist Missions. Her name is Caitlin. And she was a lot of fun, too. And we were really encouraged by her. So different team members are going to mention these people. And so I wanted you to know who they are. This is the church that they bought. This is what it looks like currently. You're going to see some pictures inside. It's kind of dark. Where we are actually removing this steel I-beam. I mean, it was huge. And we almost killed ourselves. Not really. And we lost a finger. Caleb got his finger pinched. But other than that, we were all safe and got the I-beam down. And so these are some of the places you'll see and hear mention of. And there was many other opportunities that we got. And I'm going to leave that up to my team to share. So I'm so thankful for the opportunity to go. I guess what I took away from this the most was that we are blessed here in America. And we need to be just totally sold out for God with the resources that we have. Here these people have a lot less than us. And yet when we were at the church service there and they passed the offering plate, they sang the song, "We Are Blessed." And you could tell they meant it from their hearts. We are so much more blessed than they are. And yet sometimes we don't show it. And we could use a little bit more happiness and using our resources for God. So thank you for your support, for your prayers. And thank you for all your help in this trip. I'm going to have Mrs. Grime come now and share.
Okay, this is not my favorite part about missions, but my husband reminded us that this is part of missions. It's commissioned by God. The mic, because I'm so short. I'm going to tell you about my shortness, too. So I just want to just say that I feel very humbled and blessed to have been a part of this team. It was an amazing team. And like Pastor Paul shared with you before, we're going to present what we did. Obviously, I was on the puppet team, but I didn't do puppets because I was too short. The stage was really tall, and we tried a couple of different things to raise me up. But because there's so few resources there, we had nothing. So Seth actually did my part, and then I did the computer with the help of Caleb. So I was still a part of the team. And Sunday morning was a blessing to me because I got to meet this young girl, and her name was Chanel. Her and her mother go to Canaan Baptist Church. And I just fell in love with her, and I think she fell in love with me. And she is a believer, so that was a real blessing to me. I also helped with crafts because all hands-on for crafts was crazy. And so the first night I wanted to try to get to know the kids and ask them their names and everything. So there was this one little boy with the sweetest, sweetest smile. And I said to him, I said, "So what's your name?" And he goes, "Bad Boy." That's right, it was Bad Boy. Then he punched me in the arm. Then I had to look at him like eye level and say, "Do not punch me." But he did live up to his reputation, but I will tell you, we all adored him. We just adored him. And I want to tell you that I felt all of you were there with us. Alan and Lexi, your voices on the puppet CDs, it was like, here they are with us. And all of you that prayed for us and that gave money for us, it wasn't just us, it was all of you too. So we thank you for that. And I just want to just share with you that the Lord showed me a lot of spiritual things that I need to change and grow. I'm very grateful for the opportunity and pray I will take that to heart, that what the Lord has shown me this week. And last week, doesn't seem possible. But it says in Isaiah that you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And I'm going to take that to memory and to my heart, I hope.
Good evening. Pastor Paul asked me to write down a few thoughts about Jamaica, so I wrote down a few notes here. No, not really. But anyways, how do you begin? I could talk to you about the travel and the road conditions. I could talk to you about the beauty of the country, about the food that we ate, the roads or driving on the wrong side of the road or multiple other tales that we have stored up. But how do you put, one of the trips of a lifetime into 5 minutes? So And it seems to me, as I prayed about this and I thought about it, that God wants me to talk to you about the spiritual condition of Jamaica. I'm certainly not an expert, but I just want to give you some of the observations that I made while I was there. These are some things I thought about. Jamaica seems to be a country of extremes. When you drive along the ocean in the strip, you just saw wealth that was beyond belief. The sandals are there, and all these hotels that are just have everything that your mind can imagine on these beautiful beaches. And yet at the same time, there was so much poverty. I mean, when we got up into Dumfries and on our rides into the hills, people were living in these little cement shacks with tin roofs and just little footpaths up to them. And we don't know if they had food or not. Another thing is that the island was so beautiful. The oceans were this beautiful green and the palm trees. One of the things, and I'm not sure who did it, but years ago, one of the nations that took over Jamaica, because the people were so poor, they planted fruit trees and trees for food all over the island. So wherever you go, there's coconut trees and there's bananas and there's this big fruit called breadfruit that apparently you can bake it and eat it. And there's, what were they, guinips and achaia fruit, just everywhere. I mean, the fruit was everywhere and it was beautiful. But again, on the contrast, the country is filthy. They don't respect it, and everything goes out the window. And if you look on the side of the road, there's bottles and cans and washing machines and garbage everywhere. You know, so again, it's a country of extremes. Another thing I saw that there's a lot of churches in Jamaica. I think one of the statistics were, you know, it's one of the most churched countries, or you know, one of the higher rated churches in church per population in the world, but at the same time, they're lacking in the truth. You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses are there, and there's a lot of Seventh-day Adventists and the Mormons and the Catholics. And so the truth and the gospel is distorted. Along with that, alcohol and drug abuse are alive and well in Jamaica. You always hear, you know, the Jamaican rum. Well, believe me, they like their rum and their drugs. And as you would drive up through the mountains in these poverty streets, I have never seen so many bars in my life. I mean, they're from here to the piano, that big, a little square shack, and it's all painted pink with a tin roof on it. It's a sports bar. I mean, they're everywhere. And so as you can see, Satan is alive and well in Jamaica. But at the same time, Jesus Christ is still on the throne. And we not only saw what Satan was doing, but we also saw what God is doing in Jamaica. And you know, we saw his hand at work in our lives. One of the things is this was one of the most fun trips that we have ever had. Us as a team bonded together so much. And believe me, we can all testify, we laughed. We just had such a good time. It's fun serving the Lord. What a great time it is to serve the Lord. We just laugh so much. Anyways, and we met so many people. Again, you saw Pastor Titus. What a great man he was. He was full of jokes. I mean, he just kept telling us all these jokes and bits of information. And then we got to Pastor Andrew. We got to meet him and his wife, Tanisha. Pastor Andrew, one night, he shared his testimony with us. And it moved most of us to tears. Now, you don't know this yet. Pastor Paul hasn't told you, but we invited Pastor Andrew. He's coming back to the United States. We told him, if you come to the United States, you've got to come and visit us. And pray that he will, because we'll ask him to give his testimony so you can hear it, because it will move your hearts. So he was a great guy, and just the people that we met, all the people at the Dumfries Church, the Church of Canaan, that's a church that Junior came from. Not to mention, we went to the Bible college there and met Pastor, was it Pastor Black, I think?
Yeah.
Pastor Black, he was there, and we met people there. We met people at the infirmary. We went to an infirmary where, that was a pretty sad place, and probably somebody else is going to talk about it. I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but that's like their old folks' home. And we went in and we talked with these people and you know, this one guy I talked to, he had no use of his legs, his feet were crippled up, and he knew the Lord. He shared with me. He actually encouraged me a lot. And I said, well, how long have you been here? He was just laying in the bed. He couldn't walk. He said, well, I've been here for 12 years. And I said, oh, you know, and he had a good spirit, and he was, you know, he encouraged me in the Lord, and it was really neat to meet people like that. And we went to an orphanage there, and these people were serving the Lord. So I guess what I want to say is God is alive and well in Jamaica, and he's working there. And you know, it was really great. So for 4 days, we did our vacation Bible school for the children of Dumfries. And as Pastor Paul already said, you know, each day it grew and it grew and grew. And by the end, we had 85 people there. And each night we presented the gospel message. We did puppets. We did games. We did crafts. And the gospel message was presented every single night in each lesson. And I wish I could say that, you know, all these kids came to the Lord and whatnot, but they didn't. No one, as we know, received Christ. There seemed to be somewhat of an apathy towards the Lord, but, you know, it's really not that different than it is here in America. You know, there just seems to be this spirit of apathy out there, and it was no different in Jamaica. But, you know, we're not the ones that save, are we? The Lord is the one that saves. And so we just tried to be faithful, and we shared the gospel with them, and we shared God's love and compassion with them, and hopefully we made some friends there. And one of the verses that God gave me as I reflected on this mission trip is actually found in Jude 22 and 23, and it says, "And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them from the fire." Now, I don't think we pulled anyone from the fire, but I believe and I pray that our compassion and our love is going to make a difference there in Jamaica. And so just pray for the Jamaican people. Pray that our mission trip, that one day, you know, they're going to be, that God's going to get a hold of their hearts, and they will one day be drawn to Christ, and we'll see them in glory. And I just wanted to read our theme verse to you all. It says, "Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nation and his wonders among all people." And you know, we don't have to go to Jamaica to do that. We should be doing that right here.
Well, I have to tell you that God did stretch us. And it was right off the bat. You know, when we get into Jamaica, and it's almost midnight their time, it's 1 o'clock our time, and we didn't know it, but in Jamaica, the airport closes. So they're not nice. They want you out. And poor Pastor Paul was trying to get Caleb's baggage, and we're waiting in the baggage claim, waiting for them to come out, and they're telling us to get out. And we're like, but we have, and they're like, get out. And we're like, okay. So we go outside, and we're waiting for them outside, and it took, I think an hour for Caleb and Pastor Paul to make a claim for his, so you know, right off the bat, you can feel, okay, Lord. And so we get into our bus with Uncle, and I did not know that they drove on the left side of the road. Till we were driving on the left side of the road, I thought, I'm tired, but I hope he knows what he's doing. And there's still a lot of traffic, right? So that was this American girl going to Jamaica. And we got to the Pink Hibiscus, which for you, it is more like a bed and breakfast atmosphere, wouldn't you say? And the very sweet lady named Aunt Shirley, which she was Aunt Shirley, she was Shirley 1, my mom was Shirley 2. So they welcomed us in, and we each got our, you know, different rooms. And the next morning, we knew we had to be up, and we had to get going to church, you know, get ready, eat breakfast, and away we needed to go to church. Now, church in Dumfries was 15 miles away, and you think 15 miles away, it's not going to take that long. No, it took almost an hour every time we left. Like John said, over roads that switched back and forth in 90-degree angles, I swear to you, and potholes that would swallow little cars. And I am usually not one that gets motion sickness, but by the time we got to Dumfries, I was praying that I wouldn't lose what I ate for lunch. And so, she's laughing. So that was a stretch. Thankfully, I must have gotten used to it, because after the first night, it didn't bother me anymore, so I think the Lord had something to do with that. I know the Lord had something to do with that. And we get there, and we were privileged to be a part of the Sunday morning church service, which was amazing, and got to see Pastor Paul preach. And then we had to go back, all the way back, down through the mountain to the hotel that we're staying at for lunch. We ate, and then we had to get, because nobody, where we were, there wasn't really any grocery stores for snacks. So we had to go to the grocery store and get snacks. We don't know what we're supposed to get. So with the help of Caitlin, she helped us get the snacks we needed, and away we go back to Dumfries. We spent a lot of time on this bus. Now, I'm going to tell you, praise the Lord for air conditioning, because the weather was in the 90s, high 90s, and 100% humidity. So God was good to us that we had an air-conditioned bus to travel an hour back up to Canaan Baptist Church. We get there, and like Pastor Paul said, we hadn't set up. And that's not normal for us. We're usually very good and very, you know. And so he said, he split the team. You go out and canvas, you guys set up, you guys, and that's what we did. And it was a stretch, because that's not what we like to be prepared, right? But we just keep going. We're in Jamaica, no problems, just situations. So that was the first night. The second day, we got up, and then we went to the children's home, which, again, is in the mountains. Different part of the mountains than where Dumfries is. And there is no roads that go across. You come back down to the shoreline to travel back up the mountain roads to wherever you're going. So there's no across. So we went up into the mountains, another twisty, windy, shouldn't be there kind of roads. Anyway, and we went to the children's home. And it was really neat to be up there. They're run by Mennonites, and little children, adorable. There's one little boy named Gabriel. He is the first surviving 25, born at 25 week or 24 weeks gestation. And through his birth, the doctor that had moved to the island, Dr. Brown, believe it or not, she became acquainted with this children's home, as well as she also is acquainted with the Bayview Baptist Church. So that's a pretty neat thing that God used this little one to associate. So that was just a little something, and we told Becca she couldn't bring one home, but God gave her one anyway. So, see how God is? He's so amazing. So we left there, and back down we had to come, and then we landed back down at Bayview. You saw the warehouse. And when I say rough inside, it was rough inside. But they had created about half the auditorium, wouldn't you say, for a meeting place, or not quite half for where they were going to meet. But that's where they were going to meet. And they had this I-beam thing, whatever. The guys took it down. I just prayed that nobody would die. And I have it on video. Caleb did mash his fingers, but, you know, God was good. And away we went back to eat, and then we jumped in the pool because we were all, it was hot. It was hot. So we jumped in the pool. We had, less than a half hour. We're like, half hour? That works. We all got in the pool, got cooled off, and got our stuff, and away we went back to, up to Canaan. And we got there early enough so that we were prepared enough, and that made us feel better that night. Every night, as Pastor Paul said, we would start out with 10 kids, 12 kids in the beginning. But by the end of the night, we had 45, 50, you know, in the last night, 85, and you just have to remember, okay, Lord, you're bringing them in. And it was like bringing in the sheaves. These kids would hear it throughout the neighborhood, and they would come. By the third day, we went to, we first visited Hillside Baptist Church, and that is the first Baptist, mid-mission Baptist church that was planted in Jamaica, and it's a beautiful, big church. I got a picture of Pastor Paul up in the pulpit, just cause, and it's on a hillside, and that was really pretty to see, but then we went to the infirmary, which is across the valley from them, and that was sad. These infirmaries are run by the government, and there's one in each parish, which there's 14 parishes in Jamaica. The parishes are like what we would consider states. So there's 14 parishes. And, you know, this is where the unwanted elderly, and some of the women weren't elderly, they were just mentally handicapped. So they had some young girls there that were mentally handicapped, nobody wanted. So we sang songs, we loved on them. Becca, one of them didn't want her to go. She almost had to, like, you know, she, yeah. So that was, you know, it's heart-touching to see these people who just need the Lord and they need gentleness and kindness. And then we went back, ate lunch, and where did we go? Back to Dumfries to do our vacation Bible school. You know, every night we were trying to get tweak things, as Pastor Paul said, so that we could run smoother, you know, because we Americans, we like to have our time schedules. We like to make things run smoother. But we have learned, and I think the whole team would attest, that's not the way it goes. You just have to go with it, whatever happens. It isn't on your time schedule. It isn't on your time frame. And you can't make it look American. You have to go with how they, we didn't do any registration at all, because you couldn't. There was just inconceivable. There's no way. I can't remember some of the other things that we just, you know what? We just, okay, Lord, we're just going to go with it. That night, I had my devotions. The third night was the one that I was in charge of. And I just remember, you know, I started out the day, it was just one of those, I felt like I was in a funk, and God just gave me a verse in our devotions, which was really cool, in that, to back up a little bit, we all, at different times, would come out in the morning, and you would see different ones of us scattered around the pools, having our devotions, and that was really neat to see each one of us spending our time with God. We would say good morning, but we knew what everybody, you know, we knew what each one was there for, so that was really cool to have our devotions. And this is the verse that God gave me in 2 Corinthians 12, 9. He said, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong.'" And God gave that to me that morning of the day that I was supposed to give my devos. And these kids are not always easy kids, you know. I started right off knowing that it was a matriarch society. I was like, "I just want you boys to know," because there was a lot of boys, "I'm the mama of six boys, so you best behave." And they were good as gold. So, but you know, we presented the gospel. I talked about David and Jonathan and how Jonathan loved David. And then I talked about how there's someone who loves them even more and was able to present the gospel. So they can't say they haven't heard. And like Joanne had said about Bad Boy, we don't know if Bad Boy's the next junior, you know? We don't know who the next junior is. But there was a lot of boys there, and they need Jesus. I'm just gonna close with, it was a privilege to serve. It was an honor to serve the Lord. It was something that I've always wanted to do. I would love to do it again. In fact, last Saturday I got on BMM's website and looked up short-term missions. I'm like, Lord, where do you want me to go next? Do I feel called to the mission field? No, but I would love to go for a short term. I love being used by the Lord. It was a privilege to serve with my mom and my sons. Not to make it about us, but that was sweet. It was sweet to see them serving the Lord and being able to witness that. It was sweet to be with my other Open Door members and the harmony that we had together serving him. We were stretched and it was hard. We were tired. It was hot, hot, hot. Shower hot. Shower cold. That was one of the things. Okay, so we get in the shower in the morning, you expect a hot shower. Not in Jamaica, man. It's cold because it's heated by the sun. So that was, you learned that real fast. If you wanted a hot shower, you had to be the first one in at night if you wanted a hot shower. But we kind of got used to the tepid showers in the morning. It felt kind of good. So anyway, and then Pastor Andrew's testimony, and like Pastor Paul said, John said, we really, really want to have him and his wife come. What a testimony of God's grace and mercy in that man's life, and how humbling it is to see how God works in somebody's life. And this man, I'm not even going to give it away because I really hope he gets to come. And I promise you, there will not be a dry eye in the place. If there is, your heart is cold. Because to see how God has worked and God has grown this man into a man who loves the Lord and is on fire for the Lord and serving the Lord is amazing. And his wife is a beautiful woman as well. So I just praise the Lord. I thank you for your support and your prayers.
I spent the whole week on the beach. Don't worry. It was nice. No. I got the privilege to do games with the kids. It was tons of fun. For me, I guess one of the biggest things was just the relationships that we built with the kids there, but also as a team, I think was really a blessing too. Making jokes on the bus and staying up late talking was something, the memories we made on this trip were something that I'll never forget. I know for me it was my first time going on a missions trip, I think in general actually, so it was a huge blessing, and if you've never gone on a missions trip, I would definitely recommend it. So.
Decisions for the Lord while we were in Jamaica, which can be kind of difficult. I know it was very difficult for me at times to not have any even inclination that we were doing anything good. But we know seeds were planted, and that's extremely important. I don't remember who said it, but someone said, you never know, the next Junior Taylor might be in that group. So that was stuff like that's really encouraging. I lived a lot in Jamaica. It was my first missions trip, period. I've never been out of the country, never even been on a missions trip. So it was really good for me to see different cultures and how they can still worship God in that church that we ministered at, even though it's completely different from the way we did. The main things I learned in Jamaica was the whole world needs God. Like, I've known for a long time that the whole world needs God. We need to be out and do missions, but man, the world is so much bigger than we even realize, and there's so many fallen people. We need to do the best we can to get out in the world. We need to do the best we can to be an influence on the local church in our local area, even. And I also learned that we need to get out in our communities more. It was really good for me to see us when we first got there, first day for Vacation Bible School, we went out and we just walked around town. We just went out, we handed out tracts, we invited people to Vacation Bible School. And I've always been afraid of that kind of stuff, but it really opened my eyes to the fact that it's not that hard. You just got to get over your selfishness. You got to get over your pride. And you got to be willing and be humble to go help people as opposed to being prideful and stuck up. But so I just want to say thank you again, and I hope to see you all soon.
So I got the opportunity to go on this trip, and this is my first ever missions trip as well. But just wow. It's amazing to be able to go. I'm so blessed to be able to go on a missions trip like this. Like they said in the first, I got stretched in so many different ways. Just a few things that really stuck out to me was when we got to go to the infirmary, which is like the old people's old folks' home, and just to be able to talk to some of the people there and just to hear their life stories. And it's sad, but the conversations that we got to have it was really amazing. And I was able to have a few really deep conversations with some of them, and it was a real blessing to me. And just being able to build relationships with all the kids at VBS too, it definitely touched your heart. And just to be able to play games with them and have a good time with them all, and to build better relationships with the whole team too, was a real treat. And I just appreciate all the prayers and everything that you guys said for us while we were away. And I thank you for all the support you gave us too.
Enjoyed going to Jamaica for this very special missions trip. I enjoyed playing with all those little kids. I even helped out in a church, and for every Vacation Bible School skit, I helped with the puppets. I learned that you should always be willing to help others. And I learned that even though things don't always go as we plan, God loves us no matter what. Thank you for supporting me and for praying for me.
She also mentioned that her divorced and her father was a pastor. And this intrigued me a little bit, so I asked some questions. And one of the first questions I asked was, what exactly she believed in, or whether or not she did believe in God. And her answer actually was, yes, I do believe in God, but she never did tell me whether or not she was saved or not. But while we were talking about marriage, I asked her if she was going to do marriage counseling. And she responded back with, yes, I want my father to give us marriage counseling. And I was like, oh, that's really, really good. Awesome. And along with relationships, she talked to me about her struggles with her family and her current relationship now to her fiancé, how, you know, the trials and stuff that they're currently going through. So I offered her testimony in being a Proverbs woman, and I also mentioned that maybe it would help if she read through the Book of Psalms. And to my surprise, actually, she responded with passages herself and told me about the passages that she had looked at and that she was currently looking at, which was truly awesome. I was blown away. I was like, wow, God gave me this opportunity, and she's absorbing and listening to what I have to say. She really, truly listened to the counsel that I gave her on the topics and the questions that she was asking me, and it was really great to see that, and I felt really blessed that God was using me as an instrument to share the gospel to her, whether she was saved or not. At the end of the flight, we continued to talk, even though we walked off of the plane, and we continued to talk about many different things, until we had to part ways, which was truly awesome. But I may not be sure of her salvation, but I was able to plant seeds of Christ's love. So I would like to ask you guys to pray for her, for her salvation, if she has it, if she doesn't have it, and if she does, then continue to grow in Christ and continue to walk the path of righteousness and grow in His Word and know that she can always look to Him for help and advice and good counsel. And it was just so great to see that God was able to use me and plant a seed that way, or even help her to continue to travel on the road of righteousness for Him. And that was truly amazing. That's one of my favorite moments. But I also would like to thank everyone who supported me and prayed for me while I was in Jamaica. And thank you so much for all the love and prayers and support. Also for not just me, but for my whole team. It was a blessing, and I was truly blessed by it. And thank you so much.
Like others have said, it's really hard to fit all that happened into just a couple minutes. So to start out, I'm going to go back 12 years. Make it a longer story. So 12 years ago this summer, I had the opportunity to spend a month in the Cayman Islands on a missions trip, working in different churches, mostly doing vacational Bible schools, but helping with different projects and doing things in the community. And on my last night there, in my journal, I wrote out a prayer and basically asking the Lord for the opportunity to return. And obviously, we did not go to the Cayman Islands, but praying for the people of the Caribbean Islands. And even then, after we got back, I wrote an entry about my prayers for the people of the Caribbean. because when I went there 12 years ago, it opened up my eyes, because sometimes we just think of all of these beautiful places and we sort of think of them as vacation destinations, and we sort of forget that people live there all the time, and that what we see on advertisements or commercials or whatever, you know, come to this resort. Well, those resorts are not the country. They drove us down along the strip where all those are. Somebody mentioned that, and it's beautiful, but it's not the country, and that's not the people. And so I have prayed for the opportunity to go back, and some of you might remember when Pastor Titus came back in November, Douglas and I had come forward to ask for prayer as we seek the Lord's will for our lives regarding missions. And so this was one of the next steps as we have been kind of pursuing that. And what an amazing week. It's really hard to pick the most, the thing that influenced me most, or my favorite thing, because there were really so many things. The children's home, very near and dear to my heart. Seeing these little kids that just need to be loved, and just getting to kind of play with them and spend some time with them, and just how amazing. And they did tell me I couldn't bring any of them home, but the Lord had other plans for us, so I'm very thankful for that. But then going to the infirmary, and oh my goodness. There's a lady there. They had like 8 ladies in this little tiny room. And there's this lady there named Rose. And she couldn't sit up or anything, but I just held her hand. And the whole group of us sang, and we just talked. And she just sang the best she could. And she was just so thankful that we came. And just seeing how they had nothing. They were in this little tiny, I mean, it was basically one room with a little tiny bathroom and a little tiny room off to the other side, and that's all they had. There was nothing really there for them. There was nothing fancy. There was a lady taking care of them and doing their hair, but, I mean, there was no air conditioning. It was hot, and yet here these ladies are smiling and talking to us, and just what a humbling experience. We are just so blessed. You know, the mention of the hot shower, like coming home and being like, wow, like I've really taken this kind of thing for granted. And I would say the roads were not really hard for me. I grew up in West Virginia. And the roads we were on are like the roads to get to my grandparents' house. So I was totally cool with that. It was kind of neat. Jamaica's sort of like West Virginia, but without like snow and with really pretty beaches around the edges. So that was really nice. But I am just so thankful in the way that the Lord brought this opportunity. I mean, it was a direct answer to a prayer that started 12 years ago. And just being able to interact with these kids. I haven't even talked about VBS. I could go on and on about that forever. There were several little girls that I really had a good connection with, and they wanted to play with my hair. And so one night I took my brush so that they could. These girls came like a half an hour early, which in Jamaica time, that's crazy early, just because they wanted to do my hair. And so they did. I just sat there and we talked, and we talked about what they'd been learning that week. And it was just so neat to see how the Lord opened doors in unusual ways. I almost had gotten my hair chopped off right before we left, and I didn't. And the Lord used that so that I could just sit and talk to these girls who were about 7 or 8 years old. So I'm just really thankful. Thank you for praying for us. And please just continue to pray for those that we planted the seeds. My prayer all week was that at least one soul would come to the Lord, and not necessarily during the week, but because of the week. So maybe that's Bad Boy. I don't know. Maybe it's little Okira, who is one of my little buddies. I don't know, but we're still praying for them, and we would appreciate if you guys would join us.
I have to write things out, but the hardest part of our missions trip wasn't the extreme heat and humidity or being surrounded by 80 kids all tried to do their crafts at the same time. It was listening to Pastor Cletus Titus' daily puns, such as, did you hear about the man who fell into the upholstery machine? He's fully recovered. Research shows that 6 out of 7 dwarfs aren't happy. You have to think about some of these for a while. And the another one he said was, I'm terrified of elevators, and I'm taking steps to avoid them. So anyway, seriously, though, he really was a true man of God, serving as a missionary to the Jamaican people and serving us. Because of Baptist Mid-Missions and the leadership of Pastor Titus, Pastor Andrew and his lovely wife, Tanisha, and their intern, Caitlin, we were able to experience the real Jamaica. Outside of resorts and tourism, we were beyond blessed to share Christ's love, not only at Canaan Baptist Church in a remote village called Dumfries, but in an orphanage that was pristine clean, and the children were well cared for, and a nursing home that was a Spartan barracks with the aged ladies and mentally infirmed. They hungered for love, they hungered for attention, and most of all, touch. One Jamaican elderly lady blessed us by singing hymns to us. Just out of the blue, just started singing one after another after another. And we were both blessed and saddened by the visit. Their faces are going to stay with me for a long time. The missions trip taught me many valuable lessons. God loves and is loved by so many people around the world. True Christian love doesn't see race or social status. It's all about the heart, and my heart is so full of love for the Jamaican people that we ministered to. My prayer is that seeds were planted and that we'll be able to be reunited in heaven again someday. I just want to once again thank the young men on our team. They were such a blessing to me, ensuring my safety and the safety of our entire group. They truly gave their all. We were in some dicey places, and one situation that looked like it was the end. we were on that road that everybody described, and ahead of us there was a wire down across the road, and on the other side of that wire were about 10 or 12 Jamaican men carrying machetes. And all I kept thinking was, this is we're being sabotaged and we're gonna whatever. But our driver uncle said, no problem, man, just road crew. So I was like, okay, good, just the road crew. But that was a little scary. I was also blessed by my two roommates, Becca and Chrissy. They were devout in their morning devotions and journaling, and I'm so happy I got the chance to spend time with them. We had a lot of laughs. The thing that kept coming back to me time and time again was how unbelievably blessed we are to be Americans. The things we take for granted are things most Jamaicans only dream of. Our church has hymnals and Bibles with all their pages and covers. That's not the case in Canaan Baptist Church. Our pews are fastened securely to the floor. At Canaan, if someone sits down, a person on the other end of the pew goes up in the air like a seesaw. And if they sat, I mean, vice versa, they were there. But anyway, the children treasured every craft we did and every treat we supplied. They sat still, intently watching the puppets perform their music and Bible stories. Their beautiful faces all turned to the stage. They were truly glad to be there at Vacation Bible School. And I just want to thank everyone, because we could sure tell that your prayers were there with us, and that you lifted us up, and God just kept us so safe through your prayers. And it was the experience of a lifetime, and I thank God for it.
I really enjoyed going to Jamaica. It was truly a blessing. I served the Lord in spite of the heat, as everyone else has mentioned. We just dripped. I am thankful for the fellowship of the rest of the team and the meals that we had. The ladies were very gracious. We had a big breakfast every morning, and it was a little different, some of the things that they served. The kids really enjoyed the crafts, and I appreciate everyone helping with them, because it was like we really had to help every child, even though you explained it to them, and we tried to explain the Bible story along with it, and they really didn't seem to have done crafts at all before. And so we're hoping, the last night we made the crowns and had them decorate them and told them that if they accepted Jesus as their personal Savior, that he would be their friend and he would guarantee them a crown when they come to heaven. And I was fortunate to be able to work with them. I never saw so many goats in my life, though. There were goats on the hillside, there were goats in the road, there were goats all over the place. And my son, I didn't even tell him about it, and he sent me this for a birthday card. So I said, I called him last night and told him, I said, you had to remind me of the goats. And I thought I was poor before I went to Jamaica. I really did. I thought I was one of the poorest people in the United States. But when you see them, you know what poor is. It really was sad to see so many kids just running around outside, the parents just not paying attention to them, and it was heartbreaking. But I know that the Lord knows, and we hope and pray that we did. Our memory verse was 1 Chronicles 16:24-26a. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, the marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy to be praised. And I thank the Lord that everyone was praying for us. And I know that we bless Pastor Francis, which is the pastor of Junior's Church, and Pastor Titus, and also Andrew and Tanisha for the work that we did at their church. And really praise the Lord for the opportunity to do that.
We have a slideshow, but we're not going to show it tonight. What we're going to do is we're going to put it up before the service next week, and we'll have it playing on a loop. And we'll also play it out in the foyer. I'll put my laptop out there, and you can watch it. If you want to see some of the videos, it's about 10 minutes worth, so we're not going to do that tonight. But thank you so much for your prayers and for your support. This is the sign there at Canaan Baptist Church. There's Junior. We didn't get to spend as much time with him as we would have liked, but he got to share the gospel with his family. And if that's the only ministry that we had, that was worth it. It was worth sending Junior with us for that very opportunity. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you for your prayers. It meant a lot to us. Is there any questions tonight? Real quick. Maybe we didn't cover anything. Yes, Amy.
What happened with the VBS penny parade?
Yes. The VBS penny parade money, we presented to Pastor Titus, or Pastor Francis, Sunday morning, in the morning service after I got done preaching, and is going to go towards the Van Port. And I have a picture in the slideshow, They have an outdoor baptismal, and I meant to put it up here. I might have had it in here. Hang on a second. I have it way back in the beginning. I have a picture of it when I get back to it, and it shows the very site where they're going to put it when I get back. Can I pass it?
Yep.
Right there. So you can see this says, oops. There's the end of the church right there. There's their baptismal. Right here, they're going to level this out, and they're going to put the carport right there. Very good question. So that's what that will go towards. Any other questions real quick? Yes. We did not do any painting. The church was not prepared for us. Pastor Francis, there was some misunderstanding, and so we didn't end up painting. That's why we went to Bay Life, where Pastor Andrew is, and that's why we did. You'll see in the slideshow us taking down this huge I-beam.
The women did some scraping.
They did some scraping and some caulking and stuff. Do you have a question, too? We didn't build anything. We just took stuff down. Yes. Mrs. Brown's pictures. Let's see, that's Pastor Francis right there in the middle.
Mr. Brown, right?
Yes.
She did a bad boy right there.
That's bad boy right there.
No, that's not.
That's Pastor Francis right there. That's Junior's pastor as a kid. He's the one that's the pastor of Canaan Baptist Church. Any other questions? Sorry we went over a little bit. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for sending us. I want to leave you with this verse in James chapter 4 and verse 17. James tells us that our lives are but a vapor. Life is very short. The question is, how are you using that vapor? Are you using it for God? Have you ever considered going on a missions trip like this? You should, and you can see the type of things that God can do in your life. And it's just amazing to be a part of his work and to be serving him. That's what I want to leave you with. Let's close in prayer, and we'll go now. Lord, thank you so much for this trip and the safety that you gave us and just the blessing that we received. We hope that we were a blessing to the people there in Dumfries, Canaan Baptist Church. And we just thank you so much for this privilege. We pray that you help us now as we go. May we be lights in this dark world. In Jesus' name, amen.